Amen. All right, I want you to look at verse 20 here. Verse 20 says, come now, therefore, and let us slay him, Joseph. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. Now, there's two things in this passage that they hated. They hated the coat because that represented favor from his father and who he was. And the coat was an external, visible marker of that. Okay? This morning, God maybe has shown you favor. Okay? And sometimes there's external markers of that favor. We have a church, right? We have a hymn book. We have a Bible. We have a lot of external markers that God has been good to us. And we have external markers that show that we're different. And I don't believe that we are blessed. I don't believe it's formulaic, like if you do this and this, then God will give you this, right? But God does give us many blessings, doesn't He? He gives us a job. He gives us families. He's given us so many things this morning that are external markers of God's favor. And the devil wants to strip that away. But also, they hated the dream. Now, a dream is not something that other people can see. A dream is something in this passage that God told him. Okay? And they said, well, we'll see what will become of that dream. And you know what they wanted to do? They wanted to get Joseph to stop believing the dream. They wanted to get him to stop. I want you to, two passages. Look at Psalm 105 and Hebrews chapter 12. Psalm 105 and Hebrews chapter 12. And Psalm 105, if you will, we're going to come back to Genesis, but Psalm 105 in verse 17, I want you to see something here. And it's talking about Joseph, and it says, Psalm 105, 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And it says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Until the time that the promise was fulfilled, the word tried him. Would he keep believing when the external things were stripped away? And would he keep believing the internal things? The dream, the truth that God put in his heart. Would he believe when his feet were hurt with fetters? When he was laid in iron? Until the promise came, would he still believe? The king loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. What is the reason they wanted him to stop believing? What is the reason for that? Hebrews 12 and verse 15. the Bible says this, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. There was a lot in this that could have made Joseph bitter. You know? Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. The dream and the coat represented the birthright, and we might get into that in a minute. Okay? But Esau sold it for a morsel of meat. And afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Why? Why, when God would have given it to him, was he rejected? Because he forfeited it through unbelief. He forfeited it. He gave it up. He said, I'm at the point to die. I will never live to see the promise fulfilled. He gave up on it because he was hungry. And he traded it for external comforts and a pot of soup. And he said, I would rather have the pot of soup because I believe in that more than what God said. And the devil wants to do that in your life. The devil wants you to stop believing. Because he wants you to forfeit some of the things that God has given you through unbelief. And even though Esau forfeited the birthright, and Reuben in this case forfeited the birthright, they were still Jacob's sons. He was still Isaac's son. He was still in the family. But he forfeited what was best through unbelief. You know, you and I can do the same thing. God has given us a dream. He's given us a vision. He's given us a prophecy about what He wants to do in our lives. And some of the things you cannot change. If you're born again, you will never change the fact that you are a son of God. But you can forfeit the blessing. You can forfeit the inheritance. You can forfeit the rewards. And even with some of the things that God is trying to do in your life, through unbelief, you can slow down the process. And you can greatly mess up your life. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for God, for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And here's the dream, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And until that time, He gave some preachers and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of the ministry, till we grow up to the stature and measure of Christ unto a perfect man. That He may present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. And He's going to do it. And if you slow down the process, He will chasten you. He will chasten you. Our fathers chastened us for their pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And whenever you slow down the transformation process, God chastens you. Not to hurt you, but for your profit, because He wants to see these things fulfilled in your life. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to see God's dream his vision for you. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, yet hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. There was a time coming when Joseph was going to sit on the throne in Egypt. That in the time to come, God might show his love towards his people through Joseph. And Jesus is going to do that in our lives. He wants to do that. And one day we're going to be in a place called heaven, where there's no more sickness or dying and no more goodbyes, and we will be in the promised land, and we will be in a good place. And the devil wants to take that out of our hearts. And it says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. How do we deal with the present suffering? How do we access those promises? It's through faith. It's through faith. It's through believing what God said. No matter what you're going through today, no matter how hard the irons are and how much you're being hurt, do you believe and have faith in what God said? You're supposed to be able, in Ephesians 3:18, to comprehend what this is. Now look at Revelation 5 and verse 9. And I want you to picture this in your head. This is what God has for you. This is what he wants you to focus on. This is what he wants you to believe. Remember, even Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Revelation 5 and verse 10. Or Revelation 5 and verse 9. And this is the raptured church, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. That's a good proof text for the rapture. Because they're in heaven, and they're going to go reign during the millennium. We shall. And that's what Joseph was going to do, by the way. Remember? He was going to sit on the throne, and he was going to reign, and he was going to rule. And he says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and in the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and that are in them, I heard them saying, blessing, and honor, and glory be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. That's the dream. That's something that God told you. That's something that is going to happen. And God wants you to doubt that. He wants you to believe that, and the devil wants you to doubt that and take it. I mean, can you imagine? We're going to see the throne one day. We're going to see the throne of God one day, and we're going to be in this place, and there's no suffering. There's no more fetters and irons and betrayal. There's none of this. And we're going to be there, beholding the throne of God, saying, blessing and honor and glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. You're worthy. You've redeemed us by your blood out of every kindred and nation and tongue. And we're here and we come from various backgrounds and ethnicities, and our DNA comes from all kinds of different places and different countries. And God has redeemed you by his blood and made it so one day you will sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the devil wants to take external things from you to get you to doubt that. And he wants you to try to stop, get you to stop believing what he said. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Let's see what will become of his dreams. Back to Genesis chapter 37, it says that in verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. Now, a lot of people say Joseph was wrong for this. I don't think he was. But Jacob was wrong for this. You know why? Joseph wanted to do right. He brought his father. Hey, your sons are up to this. They're doing this. And Jacob began to recognize that this was the one. This was the one. You know, the birthright was supposed to go to Reuben. And you know what that coat of many colors represents according to 2 Samuel 13 and verse 18? Talking about that, she wore a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparelled. That coat of many colors represented distinction, favor, being set apart, being chosen. And they, in verse 23, stripped him of that coat, and they hated him for that coat. Why? Because, you know, if you look at 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Look at this. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1. And I want you to see that this is not made up. Joseph did get the birthright. The king came through Judah, but he did get the birthright. And what was the birthright? It was a double portion of the inheritance. It was a spiritual blessing. It was to be the leader of the family and lead them in the next chapter of what God wanted to do in their lives. And 1 Chronicles chapter 5, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph. For the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. But the birthright was whose? Joseph's. Why? Reuben forfeited it. And you know how he forfeited it is he tried to rush it. He defiled his father's couch, and the old times, what they would do to symbol that they were taking over is they would go into the conquered king's concubines to symbol that I am the king now. And this is like the prodigal son. He said, give me the portion of the goods that fall unto me. And Reuben wanted it, but he didn't want it for the spiritual things. He just wanted it for pride and for how people would look at him. And he wanted it for the wrong reason. And he tried to rush it. And by trying to rush it, he lost it. You know, some of you, you want what God has for you, but you're trying to rush it. So you'll get it the wrong way. You can't just wait on God. You're going to try to make it happen yourself. Because you don't believe God will bring it to you. So you try to rush it. And so it went to Joseph, and that coat of many colors that he had represented that external. You know what it showed? His father was pleased with him. It showed that his father recognized, now that the question of the birthright was up in the air, it would probably fall to Joseph. Because Joseph wanted to do what was right. And Joseph wore the coat, not proudly. Hey, Joseph, you have a nice coat. Thank you, sir. My father gave it to me, and it represents my spiritual heritage and what God will call me to do one day. And they hated him because he represented what they lost, what they could have had. And you know, some people will look at the children of God and their lives and what God has given them, and they have what they want and what they could have had, but they forfeited it through unbelief. So what do they try to do? They try to strip it from you and take it from you. And the devil wants to take it. But even though they can take the external things, they can't take away God's favor. They can take away your job. They can take away your title. They can take away your coat, but they can't take away the favor of God. They can't do that. And so, you know what the devil said? Yeah. You take those things, those external things away from Job, and he'll curse you. Job didn't curse him. He said, oh yeah. Well, you put the pressure on him, and you start going after him, skin for skin. All that a man has will he give for his skin. And God, you said, you see, Job, he didn't give up his integrity. He still believes. Satan couldn't take the favor of God away from Job, though he took the external things. Are you going to keep believing when the external things are gone? You know, that's our chance to be proven. If you look at, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it, but 2 Corinthians 6, it says, in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In how? In patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses. It says, verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by an evil report and a good report. As deceivers, yet true. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Hey, when the external things are stripped away, do you believe that you still possess all things? When your health is taken, when your job is taken, when your finances are attacked, when the devil comes to strip you of the coat, the external things that represent God's favor, can you say, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away, but I have an inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, reserved in the heavens for me that has my name on it, and it's where moth and dust cannot corrupt, thieves can't break through and steal. I'm going to heaven one day, and I'm going to be on golden streets surrounded by the throne of God, and I'm going to be praising the Lamb that was slain and looking at the Lamb. And I'm going to be a king and a priest, and I'm going to rule on this earth for 1,000 years with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that suffer with him will reign with them. I don't care about these external things. You can take them, but you can't take God's favor. I'm not going to stop believing. Don't stop believing the promises of God when the external things are gone. You know, this wasn't the only garment that Joseph lost. He went down to Egypt and he was in Potiphar's house. And God blessed him. And God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. And the blessing was on everything. And Potiphar's wealth increased and increased. And Potiphar said, Joseph, you just do it. Just tell me what to do. Tell me where to sign. And then by and by, his wife laid her eyes on Joseph. And she said, oh, I want you. And Joseph said, I can't do this and sin against my God and do this evil and wickedness against your husband, my master, but more importantly, not against God. And she caught him by the garment. And he ran and she had that garment. And she took that garment, that external thing that represented his integrity and his position in the house and the chief steward and who he was. And she said, he tried to force me. And I got his garment here to prove it. They took his garment, but she couldn't take his integrity. She couldn't take the favor of God. And that landed him in prison. And God blessed him in the prison. And then he goes before Joseph. Look at Genesis. Pharaoh. He gets before Pharaoh finally. After all these years. And it says, and he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and it says in Genesis 41, verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man in whom is the spirit of... Isn't it incredible that Pharaoh was the first one to believe Joseph? And he said unto Joseph, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Verse 40, you're going to be ruler. And verse 41, I've set you over all of Egypt. Look at verse 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from off his hand. Man, after all Joseph had been through, this is the moment when dreams are fulfilled. And put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck and made him to ride in the second chariot. Look at verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. That means Savior of the world. After all he'd been through. Listen, I don't care what external things are stripped away from you. I don't care what garments you lose. If you keep believing God, even if you're the prodigal son, and you believe him, and you say, I will rise and go to my father. You know, one day the Lord is going to put a ring on your hand, and he's going to put his garment on you, and he's going to make you a ruler on this earth during the millennium. Do you realize that? It doesn't matter. I believe God. Keep believing. Keep believing no matter what happens. And then verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream. Genesis 37, 5, and told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said, listen to my dream. And you can kind of see why they didn't like this dream. Hey guys, I had a dream. Oh, so this isn't just dad. This isn't just dad's crazy idea and putting a coat of many colors on you. You mean God is confirming this? You mean God's speaking to you too? What was your dream? Well, we were out in the field and we were great harvest and binding sheaves. And you guys, all of your sheaves, mine was the biggest and best sheaf, and all of your sheaves came and bowed to my sheaf. Have a good day. They hated him. Just hated, hated, hated. It's all through the text. They envied him. They envied him. That means they wanted what he had. The favor of his father and the favor of God. And then he dreams another dream. He said, guys, I had another dream. Yeah, well, what was this dream? Oh, I was in space. And the sun and the moon and the 11 stars came and said, Sawadikap. They bowed to me. Look at that dreamer. Let's throw him in the pit and see what will become of his dream. And the dream was something that God gave him internally. It was a promise, the word of God that he'd given to him. Dreams are tried in pits. They threw him in the pit where there was no water. It says nothing was in the pit. You know, sometimes internally you'll get to a place where you believe you have nothing. And there's nothing that satisfies. And there's nothing to comfort you. And the place that was meant to hold water for life is now the place that traps you in, and you're going to die there. Dreams are tried in pits. And no matter what you're going through internally, never stop believing what God said. The devil wants to get you to stop believing so you forfeit the thing that God has for you. He wanted Joseph to curse and swear and begin to sin. But Joseph just kept believing. Until the time came, the word of God tried him. You know, God showed Joseph the end. God showed Joseph over here where he would be seated on a throne and his brethren would bow to him. But he didn't show him the pit. And he didn't show him the prison. He just showed him this. And you know what God does? Revelation. He shows us the throne. He shows us the end. But he doesn't show us the depression and the betrayal. And the people that, my brothers are going to bow to me. And he's down there in the pit and he says, this don't look like the dream. There's no field and sheaves and a great harvest. My brothers aren't bowing to me. They're looking over the edge of the pit, making fun of me down in the pit. He didn't show them being sold as a slave in fetters to Egypt. But it says his brethren brought him to Egypt. You know, sometimes the things that we think are setbacks are just God's setups. You know that? You know, Sometimes the people that betray you and sell you are the very ones that God is using to bring you to the place that He wants to bless you. Dreams are tried in pits. And he wanted him to stop believing. I imagine him being pulled out of the pit, and he's like, wow. They finally come around. They finally repented. They threw him in that pit, and they didn't even feel bad. They sat down to eat. And the merchant men came along, and they're like, let's sell him for a profit. I wonder what they spent that money on. I wonder what they did with it. They sold him down to Egypt, but they brought him down there to Egypt. And we must come down to the close now. Dreams are tried in pits. Don't stop believing. And nothing external can stop what God has for you. The government can't stop it. Bombs falling can't stop it. Persecution can't stop it. Sickness can't stop it. People can't stop it. The only thing that can stop you from receiving the greater blessing is you. Unbelief. Circumstances cannot stop it. Only you can. Stop being a victim. And don't stop what God has for you. It says in Hebrews, he says, take heed lest any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And it said they entered not in because of unbelief. Talk about receiving the promises. And the Bible says in Matthew that Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now we'll close with John 14. Look at John 14. Keep believing. Keep believing. And by the way, don't make up your own dream. This dream didn't originate with Joseph. Joseph didn't sit back and say, you know what I want? You know what would be great? If I was the ruler of the world and my brothers and mom and dad came and bowed and groveled at my throne just to get enough food to live. What a great plan. It didn't come from him. It came from the Lord. And you know what a lot of people do? They make up their own dream and set out to fulfill that. And they don't get what God has for them and set out to believe that and take hold of the promises of God. Don't come up with your own dream. It's very dangerous to say the word dream. John chapter 14, it says this, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Can you obey that? Can you be obedient to that today, right now, in this moment? No matter what is happening, do you disobey or obey Jesus? Let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God, believe also in me. Keep believing. In my Father's house are many mansions. Man, you're going to go to a good place. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where God is, the Creator. You know, He could choose anywhere in the universe. And He didn't choose Beverly Hills. He chose heaven. And He said, where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, we know not whither that goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know how you inherit the promises? Believing in Jesus. And if you're not saved, that's the first thing that you need to do. You need to believe him and believe what he said and take hold on eternal life. You know, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. We see the end in his word, but we can't see the in between. Let me ask you, are you still living the dream? Are you still dreaming the dream? Not your dream, but God's dream. Or is external things being removed caused you to stop believing? Or internal pressures and being in the pit, has it caused you to give up and stop believing the things that God has for you? I'm going to have the pianist come forward and we'll bow our heads, close our eyes. Don't forfeit God's blessings, because they're not the best things that God has for us are not here in the now and now, but they're in the by and by. But you can take hold of those things right now through faith. Let's just pray for a moment. How are you dealing with external losses? Has some things happened in your life? Have some things been stripped from you? And you've given in to the temptation to stop believing? Has the pit of this world and life and what's going on internally